Amen. Thank you, worship team. You guys can have a seat. If our God is for us, then who can be against us? If our God is with us, then what could stand against? Isn't that an amazing truth? If God is on our side, if God has called us to do something, he's going to supply and provide the resources for us to accomplish the purpose he's called us to. And that is why we're going to be diving into, notice the pun here, we're diving into the book of Jonah today. Yeah, that is good, huh? That's a dad joke. If you have your Bibles, I want you to pull them out with me, please, this morning to Jonah. So pretty much you guys know the story of Jonah, I would imagine, right? Whether it's through Flannel Graph or VeggieTales. Essentially, it's a story of a guy who doesn't do what God wants him to do. So God puts him in the belly of a big fish or a big whale, and he lights a candle, and the whale throws him up on shore, and he gets to be a real boy for the rest of his life. Wait, no, that's Pinocchio. I'm sorry, I got that confused. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at this story of Jonah. We're going to look at the book of Jonah that a lot of people consider to be kind of a kid's story, right? Kind of a whale tale, if you will. And we're going to look at this because the truth is the story of this reluctant prophet Jonah really will speak into all of our lives if we listen to the Spirit of God. And I think it's particularly relevant to us today where we find ourselves as the church in our culture. Because if you're familiar with the story of Nineveh and if you're familiar with Jonah, you know that Nineveh was a culture that had totally rebelled against God, had gone totally its own direction. And God had called Jonah to go speak repentance to the Ninevites. And Jonah, of course, obeyed immediately, didn't he? No, he didn't. He actually disobeyed and went in a different direction. And I think, folks, if we look at our culture today, we're living in Nineveh. Amen? And the church of God is Jonah. And God is calling his church, his bride, to step up and to step into its calling, to be obedient, to call out repentance in the community that it finds itself in. Amen? So let's start today with Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It's going to set the context for us. And here's what the scripture says in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says this, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose and immediately obeyed." No, what's it say? "Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from" who? "The presence of the Lord." Jonah is a prophet of God. A couple of things that we need to understand here is that Jonah, his name means dove. Peace, right? So Jonah was really the prophet of peace, the prophet of comfort. And notice he's the son of Amittai. Amittai is the word for truth. So here you have Jonah, the peaceful prophet, the son of truth, whose the word of the Lord comes to Jonah to go preach peace and truth to Nineveh. And Jonah says, "Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Nope." And what does he do? He flees from the presence of the Lord. Isn't it interesting? Here you have a prophet of God who God is saying, "All right, Jonah, here's your punch list for the day, right? Go do this." And Jonah says, "No, I'm not going to do it. I quit. I'm going to go in the other direction." Too bad God didn't let him go, right? No, because God is relentless for those he loves. Amen? He is relentless for those he loves. And so here we go. Jonah was a prophet who often did what was right, but in this particular story, we're going to find that he did not obey God at all. And so here you have the prophet of peace, the son of truth, who's being called to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the city that Jonah was commanded to go to and preach to. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Nineveh was Israel's absolute foremost worst enemy, like foremost worst enemy possible. Israel hated the Ninevites, and you're going to see why as we go on into our study here. Now, let's look at verse 1 again, okay? And as we do, as we start to look at the story, I think that God may show you what he wants, what he's shown to me, and that we all have a little bit of Jonah in us, don't we? Jonah 1:1 says this. He says, now help me out here. He says, the Bible says, now the word, what? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The good news is that the word of the Lord will come to you and to me today. The word of the Lord will come to us today. Do you believe that? Now, it's either through his written word or through this message or through your time of prayer and meditation or singing praise or doing the dishes or taking a nap later on in Jesus' name, which I highly encourage. The word of the Lord will come to you. Why? Because God is a God who loves to speak. Do you believe that? God is a God who loves to speak. Whenever God created, he said, let there be, and there was. See, God created with the spoken word. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the disciple writes, he says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, God is a speaking God. God created Adam and Eve because he wanted to love and to be loved. God wanted to speak. He spoke with Adam and Eve in the garden, and he is a speaking God. And throughout all of history, God speaks in different ways, doesn't he? God speaks in different ways. He's often spoken through his prophets. He's often spoken through circumstances. God has spoken through the voice of his Holy Spirit. And if you've never, ever heard the voice of God, you can and will today if you're willing to listen. Even if you just open up his word. God speaks through his word. This is his word, right? It's described in Scripture by it that the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is his word that pierces. It's a truth that is living, and it will transform our lives. It will transform your life if you're willing to listen. You see, and the word of the Lord will come to you. It'll come to me, and God will speak to us some very specific words. His call, his word will be to change something in your life, to have you move in a new direction, to call you to be obedient to what he says for you to do. And here's the thing, you have a choice of whether or not you want to obey the word of the Lord. We all have a choice. See, we can either do what God wants us to do, and that is to be obedient to his word, or we can do what Jonah did and say, nah, I don't want to be obedient to you. I'd rather go on vacation to Tarshish. It's nice this time of year, isn't it? Right? You see, the word of the Lord will come to you. And here's the thing we need to understand is that when God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, if you can imagine with me, here's an imaginary map, okay? That's better. You see this map? So this right here, this is the Mediterranean Sea, okay? So this would be like the coast of Israel. So Israel's right here. And then you kind of go up and around the Mediterranean. You kind of go into Greece and Italy and all the way around here. You got that? You with me? So Nineveh is like right here in what we would call Iraq, right here. Tarshish was on the coast of Spain, 2,500 miles away. So the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. He goes down to Joppa, which is a port city, and he finds a westbound ship, and he says, I'm catching a ride to Spain. Spain sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, where are you guys going? Tarshish. Oh, that's good, because otherwise I got to be here. He gets on this boat, and he starts traveling west to get as far away from God as he can. Now just think about this for a second. The thought process that Jonah is, the way he's rationalizing this. God calls him here. He says, I'm going to go there to flee your presence, God. What was Jonah missing? God is everywhere. You would think that by now, as a prophet of the Lord, that Jonah would know where God, that wherever he is, God is there too. That God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. So Jonah was trying to flee God. He was actually fleeing his responsibility, wasn't he? See, here's the thing, is that the word of the Lord will come to you just like it came to Jonah. That's the good news. The challenging news for us, just like it was for Jonah, is that if you're taking notes, when God comes to you, he will often ask you to do some things that you don't want to do, right? When God comes to you, when God comes to me, he's going to ask us to do some things that we don't want to do. Have anybody ever experienced that before? He'll often ask you to do some things that you don't want to do, and the reason we don't want to do them a lot of times is because we really like to believe we know what is best. We know, we have a total handle on what's going on in our lives, right? I know what's best for me. We like to try to convince ourselves that we really do know what is better for us. We like to think we know what is best, don't we? And sometimes someone in authority or someone with more knowledge will tell us what we need to do, and we'll say, I don't want to do that. I feel like I know what's best. I don't want to wear masks. Ooh, that hurt, didn't it? I don't want to quarantine. I feel good. You know, this government overreach, what are they doing? You see, sometimes we feel like we know what is best. And a lot of times, when we feel like we know what is best, we don't want to obey when the word of the Lord comes to us. And this was the context of Jonah. And we see this actually take place in verse 2. Verse 2 of Jonah chapter 1. And Jonah, he says, God says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil. Their evil has come up against me, has come up before me. And when God is calling, he's not just saying, hey, Jonah, if you have some time, I want you to think about possibly, if you have time, I don't want to overwhelm you. You know, I want you to take a journey up to Nineveh. And if it doesn't affect your schedule too much, to preach against it, because, well, they're doing some things that I don't really like. You know, and they need someone to speak some truth. They need some peace in their lives. And you're the prophet of peace, and you're from the line of truth, so I think you'd be the right guy for the job. No, God gives Jonah a command. He says, go. Go to the great city of Nineveh and do what? God says, I want you to preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Now you might wonder, okay, that's kind of Jonah's job, right? That's in his job description. That's what God hired him to do. That's what he gets paid to do. He preaches God's word, so why didn't Jonah just obey this simple assignment? Why didn't he just say, okay, God, I got you. We're gonna go to Nineveh and we're going to take care of this. Well, see, we have to understand the story of Nineveh or the Syrian Empire in order for us to understand why Jonah might be apprehensive or even contrary to wanting to fulfill God's command. History knows the Ninevites as fish slappers. No, actually, that's just VeggieTales. Sorry, that's Jonah. Sorry. If you don't know that reference, what? You can watch it on Right Now Media. No, really, in history, the Syrian Empire, of which Nineveh was the capital city, now, whenever the Assyrians would be attacking someone, they were so brutal in the way that they would handle their captives. They would torture their captives and just be so destructive that occasionally, when it was rumored that the Assyrians were going to be attacking your town, sometimes a whole town of people would just commit suicide, because they would rather die than experience what was coming. Can you imagine that? The amount of fear that came upon a community because they knew the nation of Syria was going to come in and attack. That's how feared the Assyrian Empire was. They were hated. Let me tell you just a little bit about it. I'm just going to scratch the surface here. You see, the Assyrians would go in and they would take over a city, right? They would capture a city. Then they would kill all sorts of people, including women and children. They would take the men who were now prisoners of war, they would take them outside of the city and they would skin them alive. Okay? Once they were skinned, they would actually bury the men in the desert sand up to their necks. You can imagine the kind of agony and pain they would be in, right? They would do all kinds of horrible, unimaginable things to these people. And so you can, maybe, you know, they would go crazy Because I can't imagine the agony that these people would go through. They would go crazy before they would die. And then once the victims were dead, the Assyrians would behead them and take their heads of all the prisoners of war. They would make a pyramid outside the city that they just conquered and say to the rest of the world, "This is a city that we have conquered. Fear us." Is it any wonder that Jonah hated the Ninevites? Is it any wonder that Jonah would say, "You know what, God? I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'm not going to Nineveh. I understand that they're evil, and I don't want anything. God, do you know these people? Do you know what they're capable of, what they've done? What they've done to my people?" You see, maybe we can have a little bit more mercy and sympathy for Jonah when he said, "I don't want to go there. I hate them. I hate them." Righteously, though, right? It's a righteous anger and a righteous hate that Jonah has for the Ninevites. It could have been a relative or a friend that Jonah had that who had actually experienced the hatred of the Ninevites. So he despised them. And so when God says, "I want you to do something," in Jonah's mind, he had legitimate reasons why he didn't want to obey God. Maybe we can relate to that, can't we? You see, the word of the Lord is going to come to some of us, and we're going to hear God tell us to do something very specific. And it's going to be almost like, "This is what you should do. This is what I want you to do." And you and I are going to think, "Okay, I understand, Lord. I understand what you want me to do. But you know what? I don't want to do it." Perhaps you can relate in different ways. You know, maybe someone has wronged you or hurt you or hurt someone that you love. And the word of the Lord comes to you, and that word from God is for you to forgive them, just as Christ has forgiven you. And you think about the offense and the hurt, and you think, "I don't want to, God. They don't deserve it. I know that's what you want me to do, but God, you have no idea how hurt I am. You have no idea what they've done. They don't deserve forgiveness." But God's word is so clear, isn't it? Maybe God has called you to do something out of mercy or to get out of your comfort zone, and you think, "You know what, Lord, I don't want to do that. I've worked too hard to get to where I am today to throw it all away to go to Mexico on a vacation with a purpose." But God is saying, "No, this is the word for you today. You need to obey." Maybe the word of the Lord comes and you think, I know what I'm supposed to do. Maybe it's not outright disobedience, but maybe the word of the Lord comes and you think, "I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't want to do that now." Right? Anybody there? "I'll do it later. I'll get to it. You know, once we get through this season, you know what, Lord, I'll come back to that." But I think it's important for us to know that delayed obedience is really disobedience. Let me say that again. Delayed obedience is really disobedience. In fact, it's something that we teach our kids, isn't it? We teach our kids to obey the first time. At least we do in our family. I don't know about you guys. But one of the things that we teach our kids is you obey the first time. You know, and as they get older, we explain why we're calling them to obedience. Because what we're doing as parents, we're training our kids to be obedient, not just to mom and dad, but ultimately as they get older and as they leave our house, they're going to be obedient to God immediately when he calls them to do something. Okay? And so one of the things that we teach our kids is that delayed obedience is really disobedience. Like, "Can you please go do this?" "Yeah, I'll do it." And then what happens? They end up engaging in some other activity. And then guess what? That which they said, "I'll do it later," never gets done. You see, when we delay our obedience to God, when he's calling us to do something, God isn't giving us a time frame. He isn't saying, "Hey, when you get time, I want you to do this." No, when the word of the Lord comes to us and he calls us to do something, he expects us to obey immediately. Because if we delay our obedience, it really is disobedience. Now, when the word of the Lord comes, let's pick up where Jonah is. Not only is God often going to ask us to do things that we don't want to do, but when God calls us to do something that we don't want to do, we can always find a boat sailing in the wrong direction. Right? We can always find an excuse. We can always find a way to justify our delayed obedience or our disobedience. Look at verse 3 in Jonah chapter 1. He says, But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Now, we already talked about this, but the reality or the thought that Jonah could escape and flee God's presence is foolishness. There's nowhere that Jonah could have gone in all of the world, or even if he were today and were able to get on a rocket ship and blast off into outer space, God is still there. God's command is still on Jonah's life. God still expected Jonah to obey. But too often, we find ourselves going, you know what? There's always a boat sailing in the wrong direction. We can always make an excuse. We can always find other things to do to delay or to disobey God's call. Check this out, verse 4. But the Lord, he hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." So not only is Jonah trying to avoid and flee God's call, he's going into the middle of the boat, away from all of the destruction and the devastation, and he falls asleep. What this communicates is that Jonah was totally at peace with his decision to disobey God. Do you catch that? He was totally justified because, God, you don't know the Ninevites like I do. They're evil. They're awful. I'm going to Tarshish. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to go take a nap. I'll let the professionals deal with the storm. It was so bad that these seasoned veterans, these seasoned sailors, these mariners, they started throwing out their cargo, their livelihood. Jonah's disobedience put the whole enterprise at risk. Do you see that? When we disobey God, when we get on a ship that's sailing in the wrong direction, we threaten everybody around us because of our disobedience. So it was so bad that the captain himself came down to him and said, "What the heck are you doing?" I can't translate what he actually said because it's not appropriate for Sunday morning. But there is not just an ounce of consternation. There is like, "What are you doing? We're dying here. Get up, call out to your God. Do whatever it is that you need to do, because perhaps your God will give a thought that we may not die." Do you realize what's at stake here? You see, not only will God call us to do things that we don't want to do, not only can we find a boat sailing in the wrong direction, but God may send a storm to grab our attention. God may send a storm to grab our attention. Check this out, verse 7. He said, "And then they," the mariners, "said to one another," now Jonah is with them, he said, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and when they cast lots, guess what? The lot fell on who? Jonah. Surprise, surprise, right? Fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? What do you do?" Now they're asking for more information. What does Jonah say? He said, and then they ask this, you know, "Where do you come from? What is your country? What people are you?" And Jonah said to them, and he, you know, remember, he's the prophet of peace and he's the son of truth. So at least Jonah retains his integrity here. He says this, he says, "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Isn't it interesting? Jonah is on the boat to flee the presence of God, but yet here he communicates that I fear the Lord, the God of what? Heaven. Yeah, I know that God's everywhere. I thought I could get away from him. And he made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, if they weren't afraid enough as it was. And they said to him, "What is it that you've done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. A lot of times when we are called, when the word of the Lord comes to us to do something, and we choose to go in the wrong direction, we choose to disobey, those around us know that we're living in disobedience, don't they? And how often do we actually pay attention to what they're saying? But because we feel so justified, we're just going to be set and determined to disobey, aren't we? Verse 11, he says, then they said to him, the mariners, they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? See, they've isolated the issue. They know that it's disobedience, that Jonah the prophet is being disobedient. They said, okay, so how do we get out of this, Jonah? And Jonah says this in verse 12. He says, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. You see, they were trying to, in their own strength and their own knowledge and their own ability, to rescue Jonah. They didn't. They just looked at the ocean. They saw the destruction. They thought, and this is me reading into this, they thought, you know, if we throw this guy overboard, he's done for. He's gone. We can't murder this guy. We can't take his life. And so they thought, you know, we're going to row as hard as we can. We're going to beat this thing. But notice, as the more that they tried to work against the will of God, the more distant they got from their destination. Verse 14, therefore they called out to the Lord. Isn't this interesting that the men had called out to all of their gods? Now they're calling out to who? The Lord. O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. We don't want to be responsible for killing Jonah. We don't want to be responsible for him drowning in the ocean. So, Lord, absolve us, forgive us in advance. So they picked up Jonah, and they hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Can you imagine that? The relief that the mariners must have felt. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Do you think their lives were changed? Verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You see, when we ignore the storm that God sends in our way to grab our attention, Jonah's worst nightmare was exactly what he needed. Being thrown into the ocean without a life preserver, without any means of rescue, Jonah was really, his faith was put to the test, wasn't it? And notice how God provided a fish. Totally unconventional means. But when God calls, and he the word of the Lord comes to us, and God tells us to do something, if we're committed to Christ, if we're committed as followers of Jesus, God is going to, he's relentless. And yeah, we have a choice to obey or disobey. But it's much better to obey than to disobey, because if we disobey, what's going to happen? The Lord's going to send a storm to grab our attention. And if we continue to persist in our disobedience, guess what? Sometimes our worst nightmares are going to come to pass. Not because God is vindictive. Not because God is trying to get his pound of flesh or prove a point. No, God is relentless because of his love for us. As we sang about in that song, our God is greater, right? If God is for us, then what? Who can be against us? God had called Jonah to go to the Ninevites. God had called Jonah to extend the peace and the truth that he himself embodied. Because why? If we go back to verse 2, their evil has come up before me. God was not ignorant of the evil of the Ninevites. God was calling Jonah to be his instrument of truth, his instrument of peace to that people. But because of Jonah's own hardness of heart, because of his own hatred and vitriol and anger towards a group of people who were rightfully despised, he said, no, I'm going to go somewhere else. So what is God calling us to do? What is God calling you to do? You see, the word of the Lord will come to you, and you and I will have a choice to either obey or to disobey. And when God speaks to you through his word, through a message, or through some other means, you can always find a ship sailing in the wrong direction. And if you do not obey, then he may send a storm to grab your attention. And if that doesn't get it for you, he may allow you to face your worst nightmare. And when this happens, and God does this, understand it's because he loves you, because he has something for you to do for him. He has a city or a group of people or a person for you to impact for his glory and for his kingdom. But you have a choice. I have a choice. We can either keep running or we can come back to him. And my prayer is that we would come back to him. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for Jonah. We thank you for the how his life and his is such an illustration and is such a teachable experience for us today. Because Lord, we live in a time where there's a lot of evil, there's a lot of destruction. There's a lot of things where it would just be easier for us as the body of Christ just to look inward and to hunker down and to weather the storm and to lament and to all of those things. But God, I believe that you're calling us to step outside of our comfort zone, that you're calling us to step outside of our lament and to speak truth, to speak peace into our community, into our culture that is wayward and that is so destructive, because Lord, the evil of our culture is rising up to you, and you're calling us, the body of Christ, to stand up against it, Lord, in love and in truth, to point our culture, to point our community, to point our friends and our neighbors to the better way, which is you, Jesus. And Lord, may we listen to your voice. May we choose to obey, not to delay our obedience, which is disobedience, but to immediately say, Lord, here I am. Just like Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, I know this is a hard thing, Lord. This is a hard thing that you're calling me to do, but by your grace, because you are for me, nothing can stand against me. And Lord, let us truly believe that, and not just believe it in our minds, but to live our lives in action, in obedience, as a demonstration of the grace that's at work in us and through us. That the Lord, that the world would know, Lord, that we are your disciples because, A, of our love for you and our love for each other. So, God, as we look at Jonah over the next couple of weeks, may we just be attentive, Holy Spirit, to your word, to the word of the Lord coming to us, and may we take action for your kingdom and your glory. And all God's people said, Amen.